Chapter 2. The distance from the station to the White Cottage, which was the name of Mrs. Duplessis's small Georgian residence, was about 5 miles. The road to it led diagonally across the moor, and there was never a moment of the car journey when a view that was calculated to arouse the keenest admiration was not constantly before their eyes. To Melanie, by this time, thoroughly accustomed to it, it had so much charm that it never failed to have the effect of both lifting her spirits and making her want to exclaim aloud at its beauty. Where some people might find it slightly monotonous, she saw the allurement of constantly changing colours and the splendour of the loneliness which spread for so great a distance on all sides of her. To her, there was miracle in the darting beam of sunlight examining its reflection in an unexpected watercourse and the cool hollows where the wild flowers bloomed in profusion, where the hollows frequented by fairies who brushed them with a magic paintbrush. The distant line of purple hills, which turned to rose at sunset, marked the boundary of some unknown but exciting kingdom, or so she rather childishly liked to pretend. But Richard Trenchard, apart from bestowing upon his surroundings an occasional half-glance, which was too inscrutable to yield any clue to his innermost feelings, was too intent on putting the new car through its paces to have very much interest in anything else. The speedometer crawled from 45 to 50, and then from 50 to 60, and 60 to 70, and even 80 miles an hour on the white stretch of moorland road. Melanie lay back and watched his hands on the wheel. Brown hands, firm and capable, and with long and sensitive fingers, which made it easy for her to believe that his success as a playwright had been well earned. And the determined jut of his chin and the concentration of his dark brows both convinced her of one thing.